Well, so our first reading and our psalm are all about trees today. The prophet Jeremiah did not have a microscope and did not know how trees made their own food by way of photosynthesis, but he definitely could observe that trees needed water and that plants that grew near streams were taller than shrubs that could survive in a desert. He also observed a mystery. Sometimes, even trees planted next to streams of water could experience stress. The mercury could soar, the little rainfall that they would receive might not fall, the stream might dry up, and yet somehow a tree that had been planted near a stream could tap into some kind of invisible source of strength and life so that it would still give off fruit and grow leaves. Trees, tall trees, have roots. And tapping into a source of life is what roots do. And it's how trees live even when there's stress, when there's a time of stress on the surface. For the prophet Jeremiah in the first reading, that time of stress was an approaching invasion of ancient Israel by the Babylonian Empire. There was no way, Jeremiah wanted to tell the people, that they could avoid that kind of stress. The invasion was coming. What he could do was point to a way of faithful living through it, by way of curse or blessing. The unhealthy way to live through the stress, he tries to tell us, is to set all your hope and your strength and your mindset on human things, on the human beings around, and on their strength, which is visible or invisible. What visible strength you can see. The cursed way is to measure how things are going by what the people are doing, and to make their activities your horizon, and to judge their successes as the measure of success, their failures as the measure of failure. We can do all that in a time of stress, Jeremiah wants us to know, but it's not a blessed way to live. Instead, the blessed way is to trust in God, to put down deep, deep roots, and to look for life and hope and strength, not in what's going on the surface, but in what we cannot, in God, whom we cannot even see. And so the blessing comes to one with faith, Jeremiah thought, not because the person with faith will avoid stress or hard times, but because they'll have a source of life that's different, apart from what's going on the surface. When I think of Jeremiah speaking to those who face down a formidable foe, I think at this moment of our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine and the uncertain foreign situation as Russia seems to be preparing for invasion. I also think about the stress here that we're all experiencing with the ongoing disruptions of the pandemic, the constant pivots, the uncertainties, the frustrations, the losses. Maybe you can name other sources of stress or irritation in your own life right now. How good it is to come together and hear a word from Scripture about a time of stress, an invitation to look at, to take life in at a deeper level than what's going on the surface at the moment. The paradox that Jeremiah wants us to see is this. A time of stress is precisely defined by not having what we need to live at the moment, or so it seems. But at the very same time, it's in times of stress when we are strangely tempted to measure how well things are going by how well we're feeling, and to make ourselves the measure of ourselves, to judge what's really happening by what we feel happening inside of us. So if we're feeling bad, it's tempting to conclude that everything's going to hell in a handbasket. How often in a time of stress aren't we tempted to react to the circumstances and the annoyances of the moment and to imagine that somehow they are the limits of the horizon of what is possible? This, says Jeremiah, is to just be like a shrub that's in the wilderness. A shrub that lives in the Syrian desert, that where Jeremiah lived, is adapted for its consequence, it's adapted for its environment, but it doesn't really grow very big. And it can't offer very much to other species all around it. All it can do is just kind of survive in the hot temperature and with little water. But the image of the tree invites us to another perspective. Look to God, says Jeremiah, who provides life that you can't produce on your own. When the stress comes, when the heat soars, when you feel thirsty, imagine an underground river, inaccessible to your eyes, that can nevertheless be tapped for nourishment. What's going on the limits of our human vision is not all that there is. With God, there's a bigger view, a broader horizon, and a deeper spring. A tree is a good teacher. It helps us see what faith is. A tree doesn't put down roots because it's self-sufficient and it has everything it needs already, as if it just wants to grow so that people will notice it. Rather, a tree puts down roots because it knows that it needs water in order to live. And faith is like that. Faith from this perspective is admitting that we are in need, that the times of stress will do us in. But right at the moment when we admit that we don't have what it takes, right at the moment when we realize we cannot produce enough strength, enough vision, enough energy, enough joy to get through the stressful moment, right at the moment when it becomes clear we cannot rely on ourselves, that is the moment in which we are prepared to receive the grace that God wants to offer. Because God comes to us as the supplier of need. That's what grace is, favor, desire to give. It's gift. God comes right at the moment, even when we feel like we cannot trust, and says, here I am for you. Growing in faith means growing in our own sense of need and our own dependence on Christ and what he gives for everything. It's the helpful paradox. In other words, to grow in faith is to grow in the sense that we can't believe without God helping us through it. To grow in trust is to grow in the belief that we need God to come and save us, that we need God to come from outside of ourselves and bring us vision and life and energy for this moment. God is the supplier of our need. And in welcoming God as such, that is how we receive blessing. I think that it's in this way that we can make sense of the words that Jesus speaks in Luke's gospel today, that the blessed ones are those who are poor, who are mourning, who are hungering and thirsting. Those are strange blessings because none of us really want to be any of those things. Nobody says, I welcome the day when I get to cry my eyes out because that is just such a blessing. No, the blessing is not that God enjoys his people being miserable. The blessing is that it's God's character. It's at the very heart of to fill the hungry with good things, to wipe tears away, to comfort and sustain those who need it. Those who think that they're sufficient in themselves, who look at themselves for strength, who make their own doings the measure of success, who think they have enough money or power, will miss this beautiful character of God and thus experience a woe. But blessed are those who will welcome God who gives, God who supports, God who sustains. When Jesus came to us, he was God himself in the flesh, and also paradoxically, a man in need. He knew what it was to endure enormous stress. He hungered and thirsted. He was mocked and scorned and rejected. He mourned and wept. He was poor. He never forgot his own need. God planted him in a dry and dusty desert world, but he put down roots deep in relationship with his Father, stretched out his branches far and high so that all people might find shelter in his mercy. You and I were invited to grow like little seedlings under the tree of his grace, to put down roots in the deep waters of God's word, to trust not what we can see on the surface in this stressful time, but to know that deep beneath the ground, God is moving in ways that we cannot see, pouring out mercy richly and abundantly upon us.